Is that fine? Y'all can hear me fine? Okay. So today, family, I want us to take a look at a topic that God has been dealing with me on lately. I don't know if you all have heard of, it's a song out by a group called I Am They, called I Thank You for the Scars. How many of y'all heard of that song? And there's another one by Laura Story called Blessings. She says in the song about, you know, the trials in our life, maybe they're your blessings or your mercies in disguise. And just listening to those songs really made me think about my own life. And God kind of took me to the longest psalm in the Bible, Psalm 119. And that's where we're going to be at today. Psalm 119, primarily we're going to look at verse 71. We'll look at some other verses. I'll mention some other verses, but primarily I want us to focus in on Psalm 119, verse 71. I want to breathe a word of prayer, and then I'm going to read a verse out of the English Standard Version. You can follow along with me. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, my family, now we come before you humbly this morning, first and foremost, to say thank you. We thank you for being who you are. We thank you for what you did on Calvary over 2,000 years ago, and we thank you for what you're doing in our lives right now. Truly, Heavenly Father, we owe you our all. You paid a debt that we could not afford to pay, one that you did not owe, and we thank you for that. You gave your best for us. We gather here today with no form or fashion, but simply just to hear from you. Father, I thank you for the privilege to being able to preach to your people. I ask, Heavenly Father, as you've guided me in the preparation of your word, I ask that you would guide me now in the presentation of your word, that your people will be edified as you are glorified in this place. For we love you and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Psalm 119, verse 71. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. The reading of the Word of God is this. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. Amen. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. As I mentioned earlier, Psalm 119 is the longest psalm, and we could be here all day talking about the beautiful poetic structure of Psalm 119. But what I want us to look at today is some of the beautiful poetic infrastructure within the psalm. There's some what I like to call divine irony. And as the topic of the sermon states, we want to look at God's affection of affliction. Affection of affliction. The phrase in of itself makes you think, well, Henry, that just doesn't make sense. How in the world can you show me affection through affliction? When we look at the definition of those two terms, when we look at affection, affection is the gentle feeling of fondness or liking, the way of showing love. When we look at the definition of affliction, it's something that causes pain or suffering. And truth be told, the ironic union of these two actions is a recurring theme throughout Psalm 119. It's as if God is trying to put across something that to our minds doesn't make sense, but is a truth that he wants us to embrace and to grab because it will help us in our daily life, in our daily walk as Christian men and women. And God being the loving father that he is, he has shown the psalmist something that he wants us to see. And it's simply this, that no matter what happens in our life, we have to trust him, believe in him, and know that he has everything under control. And no matter what is going on, that he has our best outcome in his intentions. In other words, If it seems as if things are going wrong, trust that God is saying it's still going right. And that's kind of hard for us to grasp at times. Because when we see ourselves going through trials and tribulations and problems going on in our life, one of the first things that we want to do is we want to blame someone. In fact, Psalm 119, the psalmist has let us know that there's a lot of reasons or a lot of things he could do to blame someone, particularly God. But instead, the psalmist does not blame God for his troubles. He doesn't blame God for any of the challenges that he's faced or any of the sufferings that he's gone through. But instead, yet he recognizes that all that he's gone through was in fact God's will. And instead of blaming God or complaining about his situations and his circumstances, the psalmist actually thanks God for his troubles. I'm going to say that again. The psalmist actually thanks God for his troubles. And I'll be honest with you, family, I haven't gotten there yet. I know you're probably saying, well, you pastor, you preaching the word. Yeah, but I haven't gotten there yet, family. I'm growing just like you. I'm trying to make it just like you. I need prayer just like you. I have weaknesses just like you. And the one thing I would get you to understand, family, is that when times are hard and difficulties arise in our life and challenges seem to come our way, even I, and I know Pastor Austin, if he was here, he would say the same thing. Yes, there are times when we feel like, man, God, you let me down. Why are you allowing this to happen in my life? The psalmist teaches us here that these afflictions that we go through are still things that we need to thank God for, because God is showing his affection through these afflictions that we receive in our life. And in essence, the psalmist is teaching us in verse 71 by stating that it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. He's teaching us to embrace the fact that what's most important in our life is the very providence of God. The very providence of God. Meaning that no matter what's going on, God is still working it out for our good. Paul puts it this way in Romans 8:28, for we all know that all things work together for the good. For those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. Meaning it doesn't matter what's going on around you, some kind of way it's working out for your good. The providence of God gives us peace in the midst of whatever's going on around us, because we know that God has great intentions despite the trials and troubles that we face. A good example to see this, family, of what the psalmist is talking about here in 119 is seen in the story of Joseph. If you have some time, take a look at the story of Joseph, which is the book of Genesis, the first book in the Bible, chapters 37 through 50. Illustrate the story of Joseph. Joseph was one of the sons of Jacob, Israel. And Joseph was one that had dreams, and he would dream these dreams that basically talked about his future and the things that God had in plan in store for him. His brothers were so jealous of these dreams that he had and the relationship that he seemed to have with his father that they actually sold him into slavery. They actually set it up where he could get brought into slavery, and before you know it, he was taken far off into the land of Egypt, and he ended up spending some time working. I believe it was in the governor's house, and while there, he got trumped up on charges, ended up being thrown in jail for something that he didn't do, because the governor's wife was yelling rape, and he didn't touch the lady or whatever. So he was in prison for charges he shouldn't have been in there for. And before you know it, this same thing that helped get his brothers jealous of him, having these dreams, God used that to put him in a position where he was able to interpret a dream of Pharaoh. And before you know it, as God would have it, Joseph is now brought in to be the second man in charge in Egypt. And at that time, Egypt was the world's superpower on the face of the earth. And here Joseph is, second in command. It's amazing. Around the 20th verse of chapter 50 in Genesis, Joseph is with his brothers. He meets them. He talks with them. He confronts them. And he lets them know, everything that you did to me. You meant evil by setting me up the way you did. But what you meant for evil, God meant for good. In other words, Joseph understood the providence of God to say that, yes, I might have gone through some rough times. I might have been sold into slavery. I might have been trumped up on charges and thrown in prison. But guess what? God meant all of that for the good, not just the good of me, but the good of you and everyone in the land. Why? Because it was the wisdom that God used through Joseph that allowed Egypt and everyone around them to live through a famine that had existed for over 7 years. It was the wisdom that Joseph had that allowed them to live through that and not die and perish. Joseph said, I understand that there may be some trials and tribulations in my life, but God has some good things in store because of my afflictions. And truth be told, this concept of understanding the providence of God and the fact that when we have these afflictions, that it's God just merely showing his affection for us. Joseph understood exactly what the psalmist is saying here in Psalm 119, that we have to make sure that we trust in God no matter what's going on in our life, that God actually displays his affection for us when we find ourselves in the midst of affliction, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of trials and tribulations in our life. And so I want to do something very briefly, family, and I'll take my seat. It's just discuss three reasons why affliction is good. I know you're probably saying, Pastor Henry, we all right with you. But ain't no way in the world you're going to get us to see that affliction is good. But I want you to bear with me for a few minutes, family, so you can understand what I mean by this. It's a biblical concept that we need to embrace. Just as the psalmist said here in 71, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. It is good that affliction happens in our life. It is good. The first reason why it's good for affliction to happen in our life is because God uses affliction for our sanctification in Christ. For our sanctification in Christ. In Psalm 119, as we said here in 71, the psalmist says, it's good for me that I did what? That I was afflicted that I might learn your statutes. Your statutes literally means that he's learned God's word. He's learned God's laws, his rules, his commandments. In verse 67 of Psalm 119, the psalmist says it this way. He says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. So in other words, prior to me being afflicted, I did what I wanted to do, and I didn't obey you, God. But now that I've gone through these trials and tribulations, now I'm doing things the right way. I'm doing things the right way. I'm obeying your word. And by obeying your word, I'm living according to your word and being sanctified in Christ. Why? Because I'm being transformed more and more by the obedience to your word. And in Psalm 119, verse 75, the psalmist puts it this way. He says, I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Meaning, you've afflicted me to get me to go, the right way and to be the person that you have called and created me to be, period. Our sanctification in Christ, family, has to do with us being transformed by God's word on a daily basis. It's not something that happens one time and it's done and it's over with. No, each and every day we have to be consuming God's word and living by his word and obeying his word. All of that plays into our sanctification in Christ. In fact, to put it more bluntly, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy, in the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, he says, and he puts it plain, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. They will be persecuted. In other words, you're going to go through some trials and tribulations. You're going to go through challenges. You're going to go through hard times. You're going to go through sufferings. If you claim to want to have a godly life in Christ, family, that's going to happen. Because therein lies your sanctification in Christ. It can't happen without it. I know sometimes we want to try to go another route and make it easy, but unfortunately, we can't. The first reason is our sanctification in Christ, the reason why affliction is good. The second reason why affliction is good is our identification in Christ. Our identification in Christ. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, the Apostle Paul puts it this way. He says that I may know him, speaking of Christ, and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. There's a lot of promises that we try to grab hold to in the Bible, family. But the fact of the matter is, if we want to identify with Christ, it's those sufferings, it's that affliction that we go through that identifies us in Christ Jesus. Why? Because when you stand up for Christ, when you live for Christ, family, I'm sorry, in this world, you're going to face some trials and tribulations. Because things are not going to come easy. People are not going to appreciate everything that you have to say or how you live. And you may not even be one of these people that go around just preaching the word of God in such a way that you're trying to blame someone for this or tell them they're wrong for that. But it just may be the lifestyle that you live that offends people and makes them think, wow, how in the world is he living that way? How in the world is he responding or she responding that way with what's going on? The fact is that when you go through these trials and tribulations in your life, it helps you identify with Christ because he did the same thing. As we stated already, our identification in Christ, does it come just because we've said that we believe in Jesus or that we come to church every Sunday and that we sing songs and that we read? No, it's about the sufferings that we go through in life and how we respond or react when we're going through those sufferings, those times of affliction that we're experiencing in our life. Does that make sense? But not only does our sanctification in Christ is a reason for affliction being good, and our identification in Christ also a reason why affliction is good, but finally, our salvation in Christ is a reason why affliction is good. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10. It's a scripture that makes me feel a little choked up every time I read it. But it says that, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. Just to explain that a little bit, family. Prophet Isaiah is saying that it pleased God to take Christ through everything that he went through, even through the cross, because he knew by giving up this one son, and allowing this one son to go through what he went through, he would have billions, trillions of offspring, people who would be in Christ, that would be in his family, to live with him, not just for a little bit of time, but for eternity. So it says it pleased him. In other words, God didn't mind doing it because he knew what the outcome would be. The affliction that Christ went through was good, not just for you, but also for me, for all of us, because therein lies our salvation. He was the only one that could go through what he went through. He was the only way that we could be saved. And when you want to talk about affliction, I can't think of any scene. I can't think of any scene more impactful than thinking about everything our Lord and Savior went through on the cross. Being beaten all night long. Being hung on the cross. Having nails about 6 to 7 inches drilled into his hand, drilled into his feet, pierced in his side. I can't imagine the pain and the agony that he went through. I really can't, family. But that affliction that he experienced was good, because it was the only way for you and I to be saved. Affliction is good, family, for our sanctification. for our identification, but also for our salvation in Christ. If I would leave you with something, I'll leave you with this. What the psalmist was talking about, the fact that it's good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. It was an old song. My mom, I grew up in a household. My mom would play music all the time. She would play some of these old gospel songs on Saturday morning when we were cleaning up the house. She would play some songs by Shirley Caesar, old gospel great, but also by Andre Crouch. And there was a song by Andre Crouch called Through It All. I don't know if you heard of it, but it's a song where the lyrics just touched my soul, and I'll share it with you and leave you with this. In the song, Andre Crouch puts it across this way. He says, I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There's been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation that my trials come to only make me strong. I thank God for the mountains, and I thank God for the valleys. I thank him for the storms he brought me through. If I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. I learned from that song, family, that anytime life is beating me up with the different afflictions and sufferings, that it's merely God showing his love for me, his affection for me. To say, I'm going to make you better, I'm going to make you stronger, I'm going to make you wiser, I'm going to make you into the man of God that I have called you to be. Despite what's going on around you, it's all for your good. It's all for the betterment of who you are in Christ Jesus. And I'm encouraging you, family, remember that. When life is beating you up, and if it hasn't beaten you up already, trust me, just keep having birthdays. Just keep waking up. Your time is coming when life seems to beat you down. Just remember what your brother said and what the psalmist said. It was good for me that I was afflicted. It was good. And the outcome will be exactly what God would have you to be in life. The man or the woman that he's created you to be for his glory. Amen. Amen. God bless you, family. I love you. I hope and pray that God is... bless your heart with this message as much as he's blessed me with mine.